The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Can you believe it? The NFL season is already here, and with football on the horizon, your fantasy football acumen has to be top-notch, and that's where our friends at Pro Football Focus have you covered. If you're looking to get educated and informed on the hottest stats, then look no further than our sponsor, Pro Football Focus and PFF Fantasy. Pro Football Focus uses their exclusive data on every play of every game to bring you the best fantasy insights and advice. Join PFF Edge for full access to PFF's player projections, fantasy draft guide and cheat sheets, positional matchup charts, and of course, their award-winning fantasy content. Are you a high-stakes player? Step up to PFF Elite and dive into the premium stats database for unique player performance stats across every position. Elite also unlocks the new Green Line, Pick Center, DFF Optimizer, and much more. PFF Fantasy leads you to victory with data-driven projections, expert rankings, and roster advice all year long. From draft night through the playoffs, the experts at PFF will give your team the inside advantage. Join PFF Fantasy today and prepare to win. Sign up now at profootballfocus.com. Use the promo code POD20. That's POD20 to save 20% on all subscription plans.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I was up late. I was up until about 3 in the morning. I started a movie. What a piece of crap. It's called Arizona, and made in 2018. I had very limited information. In fact, when I order movies at home, I can usually watch a trailer and then go into the movie. This did not come with a trailer. But it had, I think his name is Danny McBride, the guy from Eastbound and Down, and he's great. He only can play one character. I would not put him as a fantastic actor, but when he plays that character and plays the right role, he's just excellent at it. So it had him, who I'm a fan of, and it was made in 2018, and that was all the information I have, and I bought it, and it was called Arizona, and I tell you that again to make sure you do not make the same mistake I did. It was a movie that forgot to include a plot, a point, a beginning, a middle, or an end. It was a piece of crap, but at any rate, I stayed up and watched it, and I'm happy to be here with you guys today. There's been some interesting news in the world of MMA, and let's start as recently as Monday. Ariel Helwani had Tyron Woodley on his show. And there's really never been a guy in this sport that is more misinterpreted than Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley is such a nice guy, and he's usually on the correct side of arguments. But for some reason, the fans misinterpret him. And I don't know if it's his body language or the confidence mistaken as arrogance in which he makes statements. But any statement he makes, he comes out smelling terrible. When if you actually judge the words that he used, he was right. So here, let me give you an example. Here's what happened on Monday. As we know, Tyron versus Darren Till's coming up. And what I really like, what I think is a lot of fun and a great talking point so far, is that Kamaru Usman has been put in the bullpen. Meaning if anything is to happen to Till or Woodley, Usman will step in. Now, in the fighters' minds, that has been misinterpreted somewhat to mean that Usman will get... So here's how the process will work. Usman has some kind of a financial agreement with the UFC. He gets to participate. He gets to go through camp. He has to get licensed, cut the weight, get the trainers, do everything like he's going to fight, even though he likely will not be fighting. In exchange, there is some compensation for all of those efforts so that the trainers can get paid and the managers who worked this out, and Usman gets something for his time. It's very fair. By all parties, and a big risk by Usman, a big emotional perhaps upswing that he could get let down, but he's willing to take that, and the UFC is kind enough to let him participate financially. Okay, great. I just want to explain that in case people don't know, and I think I do need to explain it because I hope that this becomes a new part of our sport. I love it. I think it's so fun when we know who the replacement will be, created something to talk about and maybe even something to look forward to. What do we see a lot of times? A lot of times we see that we'd rather see the replacement in there, don't we? That happens sometimes. Okay, so to set that stage for you, it is largely believed amongst the fighters, it appears, that Usman would only step in the event that somebody misses weight. And in large part, that is how that has been represented. But in large part, that is misrepresented to my understanding of it, which is fighters pull out and fights get compromised for many other outside reasons other than the scale. In fact, I cannot think of very many examples off the top of my head where somebody missed weight and that cost us a fight. Sometimes the championship was held up. I think one time that happened, but possibly a couple. And other times, the fighter just has to give up a piece of his purse and the show goes on anyway. I can't think of a whole lot of examples where the fight was actually scratched due to missed weight. And the reason I offer that is Tyron Woodley came out on Ariel's show and he said, I won't be fighting Usman under any circumstances on this card. So Woodley was then looked at as the skunk at the garden party who wasn't willing to be a team player and play ball. But that's only because people focused on that and they didn't listen to his very next statement where he said, I will be fighting Till no matter what, including if Darren Till misses weight. I do not care if he makes weight. The commission and the promotion have their policies in place for how that is handled. The title will not be in line. Tyron didn't say these things. I'm speaking for him here. He just simply said the show will go on and I will be fighting Till no matter what on that date. So Tyron was the good guy. Tyron was the good guy in that scenario saying, you guys have been promised a certain fight. I'm in the same boat as you. I've also been promised a specific opponent. You're getting ready to see that fight. I'm in the same boat as you. I am preparing for this specific fight and I will see this through regardless to what the scale may say. Tyron was a great guy in this, but it was largely misinterpreted, in my opinion, to say that Tyron wasn't willing to go along and deal with the adjustments. In fact, Tyron went a step further, speaking of being a nice guy, or the good guy in this situation, and he even said, he put Kamar over. He said, look, Usman's so good. I would take Usman so serious. That's just not a guy I would agree to fight on short notice. He did not use some of the narratives that do annoy us, such as he doesn't deserve it or he hasn't earned it. Champ didn't do anything like that. I'm adding a few more words, in fairness, than what Tyron actually said. I'm adding the interpretation. But he was saying, man, this is a good fighter. This guy's never been beaten before. This guy is a rightful top contender. Darren Till said the same thing about Kamar. Darren Till's come out and said, you know, if you really wanted me to be fair, I think that Tyron Woodley's a really hard fight for me. I think that Kamar with his wrestling is a really hard fight for me. And I think Colby Covington with his pace is a really hard fight for me. And I find that compelling. I like it when a fighter does that. I don't think it serves a fighter in the long term to only put people down. I think at times you have to grab a guy and put him over. It doesn't even have to be somebody from your weight class. You could grab a guy in a different division and go, wow, look at that Demetrius Johnson. That guy's amazing. I love watching him fight. Whoever it is, you just pick a guy, but you need to also put guys over so that when you go to the dark side, it has a little bit more clout. And I can also tell you, it's no way to live your life. If you live your life and you're only negative, you're just going to be a negative person, right? They're an actress or comedian. You guys know Kathy Griffin. She's out there. I would hate to have her job. She made a living off of being negative. Well, pretty soon you become that person, right? As human beings, we are whoever we pretend to be. So she's out there performing theater day in and day out and just became this. I use her as an example. It's just not a role that somebody is going to enjoy playing over the long term, but it's also not a role that the fans are going to be able to get behind because they never know when that person is being serious. They never know when they're really giving a knock or a bump to an opponent, or they're just doing a shtick, which is to always put everybody down and always put yourself over the top. Ronda Rousey's on TV. What is she doing? What is this? Ronda Rousey is, oh, she's eating Twizzlers. Oh, it's a Twizzler commercial. I see. Well, how funny. All right, I'm distracted. I'm back now. So, okay, so that happened on Monday, but let's rewind to the weekend. I thought Gaethje looked great. I quite frankly thought Vic looked great too. I was disappointed as a fan that fight was over so quickly. I thought that Vic was doing what he wanted to do. I thought he was using his range, using his jab, using his footwork, using that teep, which is a kick, a straight kick to the body up the middle. We call that a teep. in keeping Gaethje at bay. Gaethje just walked through it and landed that sledgehammer shot. So good for Gaethje. I know Vic is feeling down. I don't want him to feel down, but it was one of those performances where he just didn't get to go out there and show enough minutes, didn't get to go out and show enough skills and show what he was worth. And I felt bad for him for that. He's a fantastic fighter who's been on a fantastic run, just hasn't done it in the right slots on the card, hasn't been able to do it in the co-main, and in this case, the main event spot. But overall, a really good card. Jake Ellenberger retired on that card, which was sad for me. Anytime these guys retire, it's always hard when you've been along the ride for the journey. And Jake in particular, who's a very good personal friend, a teammate, you know, dating back to 2008, stayed at my house many a times. We ran plenty of miles and sparred plenty of rounds together. It's always tough, but I was very happy for him. I thought that he went out very full of class, and he got to do it in his home in Nebraska. I thought it was a very cool moment. And, you know, Brian Barberina, that guy, I think he's somebody you're really going to hear a lot more of. He's got a win over Warley Alves. He went the distance with Colby Covington, and he's just tougher than hell. I think his skills are pretty good, but I think his heart and his mind are something to really be admired. That guy goes out and pushes the pace, and maybe you didn't really see it in this fight, but it was very impressive. And there was also a fight that night, and I didn't see it. I don't know if it was the main card and I tuned into later, if it was an undercard, but Alcantara, if I'm saying his name right, he took on another guy, and apparently it was very bad reffing. I can't share an opinion. I don't want to offer you one because I simply didn't see it, but I did read about it, and I guess it was just a beating. Alcantara gave a beating out, and the fight should have been stopped, and the ref never stopped it, and then the tides got turned. Kind of the way I read it kind of sounded like Alcantara had punched himself out, and all of a sudden the opponent takes charge and punches the hell out of Alcantara, and the ref just would not stop it. Finally did, ultimately stopped it, but the commission in Nebraska benched the ref. I don't care to give you guys an opinion or a judgment on that. I'm just sharing with you what I read. However, I will tell you, I do like that decisive action. I do very much respect when a commission sees something that they do not agree with and they take immediate and decisive action. That's what they're there to do. And we won't bury the ref here. Don't have enough information. But we are going to give a compliment to that commission. That was a cool thing to do. If they thought that a fighter's safety, or in this case, two fighter safeties, were called into question because of the judgment of a referee, then they did the right thing, which is to bench him, give him some more training, and perhaps he can go back out there another time. But they stopped it decisively, effectively, and immediately. And they deserve some credit for that, and they get it from me.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Football is back, and no one covers football like your friends here at Podcast One Sportsnet. We got you covered on a daily basis with the Dan Patrick Show and the Rich Eisen Show. We got that competitive spirit that we know is inside of you, and we want to get you the latest tips and news with RJ Bell's Dream Preview and Ross Tucker's Fantasy Feast podcast. We also have legendary coach Jim Harbaugh on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, and Revenge of the Jocks with Super Bowl champion Martellus Bennett. Check out all these shows and more each week on PodcastOneSports.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Listen, when you're out there car shopping, it's a relief to find someone who has your best interests at heart and will go out of their way to make sure your shopping experience is as convenient and worry-free as possible. Think about it. You have to search for a car. You have to compare prices, test drive that car, and let's not even get into all the paperwork that's involved. It's a large task at hand. Well, our friends at Hyundai have you and, most importantly, your time in mind when it comes to your shopping experience with the all-new Shopper Assurance Program that includes transparent pricing for your convenience, flexible test drives where the car comes to you, streamlined purchase for your efficiency, and a three-day worry-free exchange. Car buying made easier. It's possible with Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Visit HyundaiUSA.com/Shopper Assurance for all the information.
Now back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I want to talk to you guys Did you guys see the boxing fight over there? I got so much to talk to you about. I can't talk any faster, but there's so much going on this week. Did you guys see the big boxing event over the weekend? Curtis somebody was in the ring with another gentleman. I think it was a main event. It was on live TV on Friday night. I think it was the main event. So Curtis gets into the ring, and the bell rings. Right, you guys got it. Opponent on one side of the ring. Curtis on one side of the ring. Referee in the center. You ready? You ready? Great, let's fight. Bell rings. Boom. Curtis ducks out. Ducks out of the ring. Literally the second the bell rang. He bends down through the second rope, sticks his head through, steps one foot through, steps the other foot through, and now he's outside the ring. Goes down the stairs, up the ramp, across the stage, and through the curtain. And as he began this process, as he ducked out and even went to the stairs and went down to the floor area, the referee had a look on his face as though he was going to give him a moment to come back, which is outside of the rules. A boxer is not allowed to leave the competitive surface, but the referee looked as though he was going to make an exception because something must have happened. I agree with that. As a viewer, I thought the same thing. Oh, Curtis must have left his mouthpiece. Oh, Curtis needs to grab. So, Curtis didn't hear the bell. I didn't know what the hell was going on, but there was a brief moment where I was willing to give him every benefit of the doubt as the shock and awe of what I'm watching is setting in. The announcers were then covering for it in the same realm. The announcers did not, the second Curtis went outside the ropes, which is absolutely illegal in boxing, they did not call for a disqualification. They were buying a little bit of time, also trying to digest and compartmentalize what was happening. At any rate, now we know. Curtis was staging a walkout. And he came out after the fact, and I haven't seen an interview with him. In terms of a verbal interview, I've just got to go off my interpretation of what he had said, but all he had said was two things. He said he wasn't happy with his money, and he felt he was not being respected. And we hear a lot of that in MMA, don't we? We hear people say that, but we've never seen a walkout. We've never seen somebody stage a move like that, and I would imagine it's going to be very ineffective. I cannot imagine there's another promoter waiting in the wings somewhere going, oh my goodness, I love the statement made by this guy. Can't wait to get him under contract. I would imagine that Curtis's career said goodbye the second his second foot stepped off that ring apron. I do not believe that we're going to see him again, but there was something more interesting aside from this. And I do feel that there was other ways and better ways to handle this. Let's just let that go. I'm quite sure you guys agree with me. But there was something interesting that came out. So his own trainer put the mouth to him. His own trainer the very next day, oh, he went off. I mean, it was a four-letter word-laced rant about, you know, what a scumbag and dirtbag. I'm using nice words compared to what the trainer said. That Curtis was for doing this, that not only did he humiliate boxing as a whole, but the trainer then spoke up and said, and now I don't get paid. And that was the flag for me. I think that's the whole reason that I even bring this up for you guys. Okay, now stay with me here. I'm going to make a point. So the trainer came out and said, because of Curtis's actions, now I don't get paid. So based on that information, what that tells me is that Curtis was not paid. And the economics of MMA for you guys, the trainer will get X percent of his fighter. And that can be different if you belong to a gym and you got seven or eight different generally it's 10%. Whatever the trainer, generally the training fees as a whole, generally speaking, is 10%. But whatever that percentage is, 3%, 5%, 10%, it's still a percent according to the standards of the industry. It is a percent of the fighter's purse. In MMA, generally speaking, where you are also given a bonus if you win, great, everybody makes more money. If you don't get it, great, everybody makes less money. But you all got to make it together. That's generally the standard. So where I'm going with this is when the trainer comes out and says, and now I don't get paid. I'm scratching my head going, well, why not? Curtis would have got paid. But obviously, based on the statement that you're getting paid and you're in for a cut of the proceeds, you're telling me that he didn't get paid. Now, per the contracts, Curtis gets paid as long as he shows up. And don't anywhere any of you guys mistake what I'm saying. I do not like what Curtis did. I think this was very bad. I think he did try to stick it up his boss's ass. I don't like that. He had a contractual agreement. I'm not on the side of that, and I don't want it to come out as though I am. I'm just sharing for you. As a licensed promoter and as a licensed fighter who understands both of those contracts and the obligations done on both sides, a fighter gets paid when he shows. Many people misinterpret what show means, and it can change based on the jurisdiction you're in. But in most jurisdictions, show is essentially defined after the fighter weighs in. After the fighter weighs in the day before, that fight is now set. And if anything happens between the weigh-in and the performance itself, the contest, the fighter still gets paid, okay? It's relevant for you to understand that. So certainly Curtis weighed in. We know that. And I would also argue that he showed. And I heard some people bring up an argument that, yes, but he did not go out and compete. I heard that word. I've read those contracts up, down, and sideways. Nowhere in them, on any page, in any subsection or any paragraph, does it say the word compete. He is paid to show. So it does come back to the fact that he did weigh in. So in my understanding, in the jurisdictions that I've worked in, for sure he met that definition. But you could go even a step further. He got into the ring, and the official record will show you that that contest ended 1 second into the very first round via disqualification. So whether you like that or you do not like that, the official record reveals that he did show for 1 second of the first round before he was disqualified. So I would be very curious how a promoter could withhold his money. I could understand how a promoter would never hire him again. I could understand how no promoter would hire again. But just like you guys, you are allowed to go to your job and not do a good job. Your punishment for that is you may be fired. You may not like the job and you may quit. Both of those things are legal and acceptable in any job in this country. You can be fired and you can quit. However, you will be paid for that day. You still showed up. The reasonable expectation is that you, by the sweat of your brow, will be invited to come back and continue that job tomorrow. But there is a consequence if both parties are not happy with the others. One is a firing and one is quitting. So people are saying that he quit and therefore he should not get his show money. I am speaking purely to my understanding of the legalities of the contract. But I do not agree with that. And I also do not agree that because he quit, he doesn't get paid. Quitting is a very shameful thing to do in any walk of life and more exemplified than ever in combat, where you want to have that grit and toughness and not quit, but it is still well within the rules. You most certainly can quit. As a matter of fact, your opponent is encouraging you to quit. He just generally has to get you to make that conscious decision by pressuring you, by doing damage, by breaking your spirit, by getting you exhausted, by pushing you to limits that you didn't want to go. That is generally the way it's done. But there is not any type of a rule as to when it is acceptable to quit. And Curtis, per Boxing.com's official database, quit 1 second into the very first round. I think you got to pay him. I think he has to be paid. I think he then suffers the consequences of not getting to do it again. Separate conversation. But I do think it's very interesting who withheld that money, and that becomes the next question as well, because it's not a promoter's call. The commission would have secured those funds through a bond and would have the promoter's license to revoke or sanction, should that not be done. So for him to not be paid when he walked through the curtain means the promoter would have had to go to the commission and influence them and get the commission to agree. I don't think that's the right way to do it. I believe you have to pay Curtis. I believe if you're the promoter and you do have an axe to grind, you could then, outside of that, seek litigation against Curtis to have that money paid back. But I do not think that it is ethically or legally right to do it. And the reason I have to bring that up is I don't trust that somebody in Curtis's spot is going to have the means and possibly the wherewithal to go out and get an attorney. And one thing that you guys will find when you become adults is a contract is only as good as the lawyers who can argue it and a judge who can decide upon it. So it really doesn't matter what's within the contract. If somebody wants to withhold his money and he doesn't have the ability to go out and get an attorney and fight that through the system, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Unless it gets tested and litigated, you never know. So I bring it back to the point that Curtis should have been paid. The protest in and of itself was a very bizarre one for me. And we see this a lot in MMA. Maybe a little bit rarer in boxing, but we see this a lot in MMA. How many stories and how many fighters and how many times have they given Dana White a hard time? And Scott Coker really doesn't get it. Scott Coker really hasn't been in the same situation. So I'll use Dana, even though they have very similar business models. How many times have we seen over the weeks to months to years, and how many different fighters have explained with a negative narrative what Dana White attempts to do, which is have a gain on the back end, even though it's a gamble, but hopefully people show up and hopefully people tune in and watch. And then on the front end, control his economics and try to keep costs low. We have seen fighters come out weeks, months, turning into years, and insulting this and coming out from a negative standpoint. But if you listen to those fighters and all of those interviews, all that those fighters are doing, even with their negative tone, is they're explaining capitalism. And in North America, that's the model that we go under. Any business has the right to try, not only a right, an obligation, an absolute fiscal obligation to try to keep costs down and then try to make a profit on the back. They always have an obligation to the best of their ability to make sure their profits exceed their expenditures. And even though the press gets written in a negative manner towards Dana White, all that people are describing is capitalism. And there is a situation in mixed martial arts, and this is a compliment to mixed martial arts, but I feel that it gets lost in the argument. MMA is at a point right now where when you look at your analytics and you have somebody, and let's just grab any fighter. Let's grab Connor. There's a name you guys can relate to. You will have your analytics for Connor's next fight. You will then need to look at who his opponents are going to be. And oftentimes we're in a place in the sport right now where there are three guys who can have a projection that's the exact same. You could give it to A, B, or C versus Connor, and the projection for the gate and the revenue and the sponsorships and the television ratings and the pay-per-view is basically going to come in the same. So then what do you do within capitalism? Well, you go meet with those three and you see where you can save your money. Essentially, who will do this job and allow me to be the most fiscally responsible? That's a really big compliment to mixed martial arts that they're at this place, because they were not there in early 2000 at any part of the 90s. Right? The sport started in 1993 and no part of the 90s. And even in the very early years of 2000, 2001, 2003, 2004, 2005. Yeah, you started to see it around 6 a little bit. And now we're at a spot where you see it all the time, where there's multiple guys that can go out and do that job. That gets presented as a negative, and it could be a negative for their negotiating ability, but it's a wonderful thing for the sport that there was so much depth, so many credible household names, sought after and wanted fighters. So then if you were to blame a businessman for going in and seeing where he could preserve his costs, all you're doing is explaining capitalism. You can go out and try to insult that promoter until you're blue in the face, but he's operating well within the confines of the way that the United States government would like him to operate. And when you have investors who are expecting an ROI, it has to be done that way. There's no other ethical way to do it. I bring this up because we're starting to see this now in boxing, and I do think, not for anything else, but Curtis is bringing a little bit of attention to it, even if that dies down by this coming weekend, and I trust that it will. I'm covering this, I watched it, and now I'm doing a segment on it, and I can't produce for you his last name. I don't say that to be condescending. I say that because I think that he rolled his dice and put it all in on a hand that could have been a little bit slower played. And people often do miss that in a negotiation. Don't ever put an opponent into a corner without offering him a way out. Don't ever, ever go to battle with somebody, align your troops, pound your chest, and not show up showing them a way out. I don't think Curtis gave anybody a way out. The show is now over. The ring has been removed. The fans got up and left. I just don't see where anybody got a way out. And I want to make one final point on Curtis. When you do talk about, from a legal perspective, that he should be paid, and that is my opinion, when you talk about that, also if you're going to make a claim as a business against somebody to not pay them, you have to do one or two things. You have to either prove that they damaged you, that can be your brand or your reputation, or you have to prove some kind of a financial loss. I think that the first argument could be made, but that's a tougher one to quantify and prove. So if you can prove a financial loss, you can have a little bit more success in then blaming Curtis and making a case for why you aren't going to pay him. Where was the financial loss? The fans were not given a refund. Your television partner didn't pay any less. The ratings didn't go down. If anything, it was actually a really great piece of theater. It was very disappointing for people that wanted to see a fight, but it's a great piece of theater. I would have never been talking about that fight had it not happened that way. So I don't see where the loss for the business would have come. But it does appear that they're trying to take a windfall on the other end by cutting down on their costs and not paying Curtis for whatever argument they're going to make. I get why a promotion would do that. I think that it really is the job of the commission. I think if you got a few commissioners together, they would not agree with that state. And I don't even know what state it was. I could go and look it up really quickly, but I haven't looked it up. I do not believe that the commission could be able to justify that he did not show. And they can be as mad as they want. Ultimately, you have to look at the letter and the language of a contract. And there is no way there is any language in there about walking out of the ring 1 second in, because there is no way that anybody ever foresaw that ever happening. And that is how rules and regulation and laws are made up in the first place. Somebody goes out and does something that's outside of the laws. Boom, you grab it, you legislate, and now all of a sudden you make it a law. There is no possible way anybody foreshadowed that ever happening. Curtis should be paid.
We all like saving money, right? Maybe you can save some cash at the supermarket, maybe at the department store. There are so many opportunities to be smart and save that cash. Well, how about saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance? And the best part, you can do it right from home. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Oh, I'd be remiss if I did not bring up the Bruce Buffer, Nate Diaz situation. Poor Bruce. I really felt for Bruce here. Bruce did so many things wrong with absolutely no bad intent, right? How many times do we do that as human beings? And, you know, it's really tough, too, when you're in Bruce's job. Okay, so let me break this down for you guys before I jump too far into it. Bruce got picked up on TMZ. And TMZ had asked him something about Nate Diaz. And I actually believe that the TMZ reporter had the wrong Diaz brother. He kept saying Nate Diaz, but I believe he meant Nick Diaz, because he said something to Bruce about, now he's not even eligible to fight. He's in some kind of trouble in Las Vegas. Something along those lines, which Nick Diaz was in some trouble in Las Vegas. I don't know about the eligibility to fight. I think that was wrong. But the bottom line is, I don't think the reporter knew what he was talking about to begin with. So then Bruce spoke to it, even though it was the wrong question. Now, Bruce only spoke to it because he's a really nice guy. He got out of his vehicle or walked out of a restaurant. You guys know how TMZ works. Boom, they're right there. Hey, you look up, you start answering some questions. Bruce was just being a good guy. He had no malice. He had no bad intent. But here's what happened. They ask him about Nate Diaz. And Bruce had made a comment that, hey, Nate should be bowing down to Dana. And I heard that Nate was paid $7 million for his second fight with Conor McGregor. It was all fine and well. Let me explain to you guys where the problem is. Whenever you're in the sport of MMA and you're representing a business, in this case, the UFC, you got to stay in your lane. You're hired specifically to be in a lane. Okay, that's one of the things that the boss does so well, is he hires people to do a very specific job. And Bruce has a very specific job. However, the perception of Bruce is that he is a guy on the inside. That perception would be drawn because when you turn on your television and watch the fights, Bruce is on the inside, literally, inside the apron, inside the cage. So you would draw a conclusion that he's on the inside in the offices and on the inside of the intel. So, when he goes against one of the boys, problem, and when he reveals a number that is a protected and only insider number. Now, Bruce was just being a regular guy that had heard a number and had a camera put on him, and he was nice enough to speak to him. That is what actually happened, but it's not what appears to have happened. It appears that an insider just turned on one of the boys and revealed an industry and company secret of how much was given on the back end through the contract to Nate Diaz, which means that is the number. That is the reality, and that was the inside scoop. In terms of perception, perception is reality. So Bruce had really stepped in it there, and it was completely on accident, and I felt really bad for him. And Nate responded, and it was not bad at all. Bruce had, once again, he just said, hey, Nate should be bowing down to Dana, which is just an expression for meaning, hey, he should really be grateful, and he's taken good care of. Bruce is right about that. Bruce is fine. The only thing he did wrong is he's viewed as an insider. He's viewed as a guy that's in the office and he's one of the boys, as opposed to now he's hired. He's got a very specific job, and that's that. So now you're getting inside information out there, which is nobody's business, designed to be protected and to be nobody's business. That gets revealed. And you have Nate Diaz responding, I don't bow down to anybody, which is a great response. It was great. And then it prompted Bruce to come back out and try to clarify his statements. Now, the best clarification is the one that I just gave, which is Bruce is a super nice guy who gave of his time to some random reporter who turned on the camera and asked him a question. That's what actually happened there. As simple as that. Bruce was minding his own business. Bruce didn't sign up for a media opportunity. He didn't ask for a media opportunity. He didn't turn the camera on. He was out living his life and somebody grabbed him. Points to Bruce for being a good guy for that, right? Points to Bruce for helping out TMZ. Bad news? Hey, when you live in this space and you are a true and passionate fan, and Bruce is, that's the way fans talk. You hear things, you go out and share it. Little of it's gossip, little of it's opinionated. It's a really tough thing. I'm telling you the right answer here. The right answer is when you are hired within this industry to do a job, you stay in your lane, you do that job and nothing else. That is the correct answer. I'm just sharing with you in Bruce's defense. Though that is the correct answer, it's very hard to do. Bruce was just being a real guy. He had a day off. He was being a regular human being. He came out and he ran it back. I think we've all accepted it, but if we haven't accepted it, then don't accept Bruce's running back. Accept mine, because I'm more right. I'm more right than even Bruce's awareness of himself here. He was minding his own business, being a regular guy on his time. Someone turned the camera on, and he was nice enough to give them an interview. If you're looking to buy a car, you are probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but do you know what it actually means? The same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. I want to introduce you to True Price, only from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even go to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if the true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. When you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, guys, I have had it with you all. Do I have anything else to go over? You know what? Hold on a sec. Bear with me. I feel as though I had one more thing that I wanted to impart upon you. Now I've got to go look. Oh, and see this. DC saying he'll return to 205. Daniel, stop. You're not going back to 205. Stop with all that. All right. I cannot find what I was looking for. Gustafson's making some noise, though. I'll leave you on this file. Gustafson's making some noise and saying he's coming back. I think there's more than meets the eye here. That story's been fugazi from the beginning. There's no main event at Madison Square Garden. I can tell you they are optimistic that it is going to be John Jones. In the meanwhile, Gustafson comes out and says he has a minor injury. Promotion came out and said, no, it was a major injury. Chael is telling you it is a smokescreen injury as they are attempting to buy time to see if they can get John Jones cleared, to see if they can put Jones versus Gustafson in the main event of Madison Square Garden. Do not view that as Chael revealing some kind of insider information. Reveal that as fans that should be licking their chops, because should everything come together, which I think is very, very optimistic, I would be very curious how USADA puts a Band-Aid on this thing. But should it go that way, you should be licking your chops, because just around the corner, you may be seeing Gustafson versus Jones too. Wouldn't that be exciting? That would be a lot of fun. I think we all have to agree to that as well. All right, I've had it. Thanks for listening. Don't waste your time on the movie Arizona, and make sure you're back here on Friday, where I'll tell you who's who and what's what. And until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey everyone, it's Scott Braun and Kelly Nash from MLB Network here with our new show, Baseball and Chill, exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet.
Kick back with us each week as we cover all of the action on and off the diamond with player interviews and in-depth storyline analysis of what's happening in Major League Baseball.
Relax with us every Tuesday on Baseball and Chill right here on Podcast One. Download and subscribe to new episodes exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. Also, rate us, leave us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we would.